Hello, and welcome to Connecting You to You Radio, where we tune in to receive the messages of health and well-being that are being broadcast from the soul. I'm your host, Lisa Warner, author of The Simplicity of Self-Healing. I show you how to heal your body naturally by combining your body's innate intelligence with the wisdom of your own soul, so that you can break through the mental programming of limiting beliefs that cause disease and make healing your body and changing your life simple. Hello and welcome. Welcome to another episode of Conscious Conversations. I am Lisa Warner, and I am here with
Deeply Honest. And we're grateful to be here today. Grateful that you are with us in this moment.
What's the conversation today, Keith?
Today is, what is unconditional love, and how do I access it?
I love this topic.
Right? People toss those words around, unconditional love. And I just, for so many years, thought to myself, like, what is it? What do they even mean by it? Because I saw so few people actually doing it or being it. What does it even mean? I think some people are just baffled just by the word love. What does that mean? But bring unconditional into it. That's a whole nother level. So what does that mean to you, unconditional love?
Well, for me, I had a really direct experience with this when I was very, very young, because when I would go to bed at night, I found myself in this field of light and unconditional love. No matter where I turned, there was light and there was just love. This absolute knowing, feeling, beingness of unconditional love. And in that space, I understood that unconditional meant without condition, that Source loves life, that Source is life itself. And we are all that life, experiencing all the different ways that life can exist. So when we look around this planet, we've got life, so much life. Trees, plants, fish, rocks, birds. Rocks are alive too. Water is alive. The planet herself is alive. The soil is alive. And all of it loves its existence. And Source, there is no judgment of how we exist. There's no judgment about the tree. Tree, you should have been an apple tree instead of a pine tree. Or, you know, we don't have that in the natural world, but as humans, not so much. We've kind of disconnected from that love, and we've been taught judgment rather than love. And for me, when I realized that everything is just an experience, and we don't have to continue to judge our experiences, and when we tune back into Source, we tune back into unconditional love itself. And when we source our well-being from Source, we're just loved. And we can just love our life because we trust that we are cared for, that we are taken care of. Mm. How about you?
Wow. I'd say, at church, they'd say, pass the basket. We're done. Sermon is over. Let's go. Let's go home. That was so good. Love without conditions, any conditions, is my definition as well. And, you know, I like to look back to being the same age, talked about where you had those experiences. And that the one thing that I can remember is, you know, my mother, my grandmother, my sister, I definitely experienced this from. It wasn't, you know, if you do this, then I'll love you. Right? There really was no conditions, especially from my grandmother. And a mother's love, like my mom said, you won't understand until you're a parent. But, you know, as your mother, there's never going to be anything that you do that would make me love you less. No matter what. I might scold you because you need to learn something, or I may, you know, I may be disappointed because I said, don't do that, and you did that. But never can you ever do anything that would make me love you. And that, you know, and to be backed up with actual demonstration of that, right? Like there was a time where I was in high school and I decided I was poor, so I needed to make some money. And so I was like selling pot. And then somebody like literally stole the whole bag of pot from me. And I owed all the money for that. And I needed to come up with it quick because there were threats and stuff. And so I had to tell my mom. And fortunately, it was right before Christmas. And so she told all the family members, you know, there is a reason, but please only gift money and as much as you can for Keith this year. We don't want to get into it. There's definitely a specific reason for that. Oh. And she covered my butt. And she, boy, did that come with a lot of, you know, this why this was stupid, right? And then she even embarrassed me by, like, going with me to pay the guy off, have it be in a restaurant in public, going with me. And he's like, you brought your mom to it? And she's like, yes, I'm a witness that this happened, that he did pay you, so you can't come back and say that he didn't. Strong arm him for more, you know. And plus, I want to see your face, because if you're ever near my son, we're gonna have a problem. So he's like, oh, I'm scared of an old lady, and she's like, you better be. So that's, I mean, talk about backing up your claim that you told me as a child. That could have been a point of, I'll help you, but then I wash my hands. Right? I heard a lot of people, their parents washed their hands of them for far less than that. So I do feel blessed in that I had a demonstration of it from the three women in my life that raised me. And that could possibly be why I feel like I'm, you know, pretty good at being and giving unconditional love to the people whom I love. And ultimately, you know, my oldest boy, when he wrote his paper to, they have you write an essay to why you want to go to college. And this was for University of Chicago. And he told a story about when he came to live with me, because he was born my nephew, but was with me from seventh grade on. So it's my oldest son. And when he came to live with me, he was in gangs. He was like, it was bad. And he just jumped right into that when he came to live with me. And I saw that. I'm just like, oh my God. Oh no. This is like the same thing. And so I just sat him down and I said, my job is to love you no matter what you do. So I see that you're backing that. And you know that. If you're around guns, you could die, right? If you're around that, here are the things that could happen. And I just have to be okay with, if that happens, to just love you through it. And to know that if you ever want to talk about it, if you get out of it, if you want, whatever, we can find a way. But I'm not going to harp on you, call you a loser, and all that stuff that you got before from your mom's previous boyfriends or whatever. I'm not doing that. My job's just to love you no matter what. And he wrote about that in the paper, and how it just really, just not being judged and then put in it in his court, not being told he was bad, not even believing he was bad. Just like, you're doing what you're doing. I'm here to support it. And I love you no matter what you do. Like, wow. He was just like, what? And that just flicked the switch. And then he decided, like, what would it be like if I did try? Then he got it, like, A on the test. And was like, oh, yeah. You know, teacher's pet. And instead of feeling bad about being teased, he kind of liked it. He was kind of like, huh. And then he did it again. He got another A. And he was like, I don't know why that feels good. and so eventually they just like basically just disowned him for being a nerd and kicked him out of the gang instead of beating him out, which is usually what happens when you say, I want out. They beat you till the edge of death. And if you live, then you're out. Like, that's how you get out of the gang. And he was able to just like skip that whole process because they were like, you're out, nerd. And they just kicked him out. And he was like, whoa, like, who knew? they don't put that in movies. Just make them think you're a nerd and they'll kick you out. Like, but it was like Spirit God Universe, him as Spirit God Universe, like, gave himself an out. Right? That wasn't painful, it wasn't ugly. And then he just flipped it around and ended up getting, you know, full ride scholarship to University of Chicago. From failing gang member, suicidal in seventh grade, to full boat scholarship USC. And that paper that he wrote, just like, I was in tears. Like, he's the one and only person that told me, like, you, no matter what. And that changed my life. That's why I'm here today, you know, writing this essay. And it was much more eloquent than I told it, but it was powerful. And so, and Mara did a project for me on my 50th birthday where she had everybody read their experience of me. And again, in that, he said, you're the only person I've ever seen that demonstrates unconditional love. And feedback from my universe says, I'm pretty good at that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. So it means a lot of things to me.
Yeah, it's so important to have that demonstration. You know, I didn't have that so much growing up. I knew that my grandfather unconditionally loved me, but like, there wasn't a lot of love in my direct household. My parents, they didn't, like, by the time I was three, I was like, these people don't even like each other. Like, it was really confusing to me. Like, you know, if they don't know how to like each other, they obviously can't really unconditionally love me if they don't unconditionally love themselves or each other. And, you know, when I was two and having these, you know, experiences of being in the field of unconditional love and light, I realized at that time that unconditional love wasn't really a thing on planet Earth in society. You know, I looked out and it was like, everybody's like fighting with each other and creating wars and, you know, you're a bad person, you know, all of this stuff going on. I thought, wow. And I really at that time thought, wow, the only unconditional love is like the animals. You know, that's what I saw at the time. Like,
yeah.
my cats, like, they always loved me unconditionally. Like, I knew that it was here, but I thought, wow, this is a harsh planet, man.
Well, everything is a reflection, right? And I think we talked about previously on another show about programming and stinking thinking and why that happens, and, you know, money, right? To sell us stuff to make us feel better, look better, act better, see better, whatever better, which means not enough, not enough, not enough is programmed from the first time that we can stand up, really. And certainly the first time we can understand what's on TV or any of that, right? So it's programmed. So if if we're taught not to love ourselves, and then our world is a reflection of who we are and what we believe, well, then no wonder there's so few people unconditionally loving, because you'd have to unconditionally love yourself first mm-hmm. in order to be a space of unconditional love for someone else. And that's where the real work begins, because then it's unprogramming all the programming. Right?
Exactly.
So I know that. So there's something I share, and I'm sure you've heard it so many times that you're sick of it, but possibly someone who's listening today hasn't, is, you know, in this moment, you listening, watching this, you cannot be any more or any less than you are right now. You can't have any more money than you have in your account. You can't have any less. You can't weigh any more. You cannot weigh any less. You cannot look any different than you look right now in this moment. Everything is perfection. And I can say that because you can't be anything else than you are right now at all. It's like not even possible to be more right now. So therefore you are enough. Right? Can't be any more loving. You're as loving as you are right now. Now, can you choose in 5 minutes from now to make a choice that's closer to something that you desire? Wish, of course. But in this now moment, in each now moment, which is just all we can really prove have, is this moment right now. Everything else is either back there or in front of us, right? So in this now moment, we're exactly the way that we are, which is in be. So where's judgment in that? Where can there be judgment about anything about yourself if you're right now in this
moment? Right. It's like we've been so programmed by the external world that, you know, we have to be, you know, we have to look a certain way, or we have to be able to dress a certain way. And we see all of the competition, you know, the beauty competitions, like this is beauty. And if you don't look like this, then you're not beautiful. And, you know, all of the, it's like the messages, especially for teenager, you know, I'm speaking from the viewpoint of having been a teenage girl at some point, you know, you see the 17 magazine or the glamour magazines, and you know, you want to look like those cover models, and you feel like if you don't, then you're less than. And it's such a horrible message to be sending to people, that you know, your basic worth is, you know, based on how you dress, or how many toys you have, how many cars you have, how many homes you have, how much money you have in the bank. And, you know, it's really easy to drop into that comparison. I lived in that space forever in the beginning, until, you know, I had degraded so far away from the truth of who I was, that, you know, all of a sudden now I'm facing cancer. It's like, wow, how did this happen? Well, it, you know, looking back, it's completely obvious how it happened, because I wasn't loving myself. I wasn't being myself. I wasn't honoring myself or my inner knowing. I was just comparing myself to everybody out there in the external world.
I had to laugh when he said, beauty competitions, you know, modeling, beauty competitions, all of that. I instantly think of how many products, right? Money, that it took to achieve this so-called beauty.
Natural
look.
Beauty.
Natural beauty.
Thousands and thousands of dollars, and many people.
Yeah, it was really. It's really strange, because I, you know, born and raised in California. California, it's all makeup and clothes and hair. That, and it's just normal. Like, you don't think, oh, they're putting that on. That's just how you see all the women all the time, like that, you know? And it was when we moved to Vermont, when I moved there with my wife, like, Mara was the only person that I knew or really noticed in California that, not a stitch of makeup. She just would never even put me on. she was beautiful. And so I was like, huh. And then I talked to her about that one time, and then she said, yeah, you know, I tried it for a little while. I wore makeup, but then when I took it off, people were like, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, I looked sick to them because I didn't have the face on, right? All the crap. So she just went back to never wearing it. And so now if she put any on, people would be like, what's different? You know, it's like they're thrown. So she just doesn't do it. And in Vermont, women wear makeup in Vermont. And there's tons of gorgeous women in Vermont. And we were there for a little while when I was like, they're all like you. Like, there's not a stitch of makeup on one of them. She's like, nope. We're just not. We didn't grow up in that. There's no Hollywood in Vermont. And so she said that's why it was so weird when she moved to California. And she was like, wow. Because to her, it just looked like clown face, right? Yeah. She was used to nothing. And then now she's walking around with like makeup on so thick that it might look great if you put lights on it, right? All that. But they weren't doing a model shoot that day. So why? Why? And I met a woman a couple of years back in one of the groups that we were in. And I noticed that she just always had makeup on. And we, in this group, we kind of post like sometimes late at night, early in the morning, you know, at times I come in with my hair all thrashed or whatever. She was always put together, always perfectly put together. And I just reached out, not in the group, but on the side, and said, can I ask you a question? You know, like real talk. And she said, absolutely. And I was like, do you ever not have makeup on? Like, you sleep with makeup on? Because I've never ever seen you without it. She said, yeah, I would never. And I was like, oh wow. So everything that's I've been taught, everything that's worth anything is just outside of our comfort zone. So can I challenge you to come in at least one time with no makeup on whatsoever, but don't say anything about it, and see if anybody even notices. That's the stretch I would encourage you to do. She's like, let me sit with it. And then she came back later and said, okay, I'm going to do it, and I'll do it on this day. Well, I said, when? She said, this day. And then I remember, like, waiting for the day, tick-tock. And then the day came, and she did. She showed up on camera for the group, no makeup on whatsoever. Nobody noticed. And that was, like, a massive aha for her. She literally thought that she just had to look great all the time. People would judge her. It's like, as I was like, you're looking great, has zero to do with makeup. Just FYI, it's who you are. It's how your light shines. It's your inner beauty, like, and you're beautiful on the outside too. So it's like, makeup has zero buckus to do with any of it. And that was just like such a revelation to me. She's just like, now I don't know if I'm gonna do it again anytime soon, but oh my god, how good it is to know that. So I said, all right, and I just let it go. And she does or she doesn't, will or won't, has or hasn't. I just, not for me. I was supposed to just share that piece.
Yeah.
And it goes. But yeah, it's like even the stuff that we think, that we're programmed to think, has no truth or validity to it.
Exactly. You know, like, we need to have makeup because some people need to sell makeup. Like, the makeup manufacturers would go out of business if we stopped doing the makeup thing. You know, it's so sad when we start to look at what really so much trauma has happened to humanity for so long. In the name of power and control and greed, and you know, it's really sad. But now we are here in this amazing time of the shift of consciousness, where we are returning to love. We're returning to the original awareness that we are loved no matter what. no matter what we look like, no matter how much money we have, no matter where it is that we live. We are loved by Source unconditionally. I was probably 12 or 13 at the time. And I remember the house I lived in, that we had like four little steps up, a landing, and that curved around, and then the rest of the steps went up to the second floor. And I was standing on that little landing, and there was a mirror there. And I remember turning around, like seeing myself in that mirror. And I thought, I had the awareness in the moment of, you know, hey, Lisa, you know, if you loved yourself, then you wouldn't have to keep looking for it somewhere else. And in that moment, I completely disregarded that thought. And I'm like, no, there's got to be somebody on this planet that actually unconditionally loves me. I'm going to find that. Like, oh, I could have saved myself so much trauma and aggravation had I only listened to that one voice at that one time.
I love it. My first day of high school, I was in the gymnasium where you for PE class, and that's where you pick the elective that you want. So we're all in the bleachers, and I looked over, and there was this really motley looking dude. Dressed like me, like a poor kid, and on his shoe in black highlight pen, it's on his shoe said, "I am the greatest." On his shoe, and I was like, "Wow, fool yourself, huh?" And he goes, "Yeah, if I don't believe that, who else will?"
Wow.
And I was like, "Hey, what's your name?" And that guy ended up being one of my best friends in the world. Till he passed, and that's the first way that I met him. And I was like, now that's someone that I want to hang out with. Right? That plays at that level, who's willing to get teased because you know they are in high school, right? Put literally right, "I am the greatest" in black felt pen so he couldn't change his mind and take it off on his Vans and wear it every day. I'm like, that's someone I want to hang out with.
Wow, kudos to him.
Right?
Amazing.
Powerful. Oh, I miss him. We did a lot of fun stuff together.
Boy, I bet.
Yeah, we were in bands together. We did a funny TV show that we shot on VHS, just put out to whoever had hands. We'd hand him a copy and tell him to bootleg it, called The World According to Kenny. It was a really funny show that we did. Never took off because we didn't have all the streaming, any streaming platforms at all back then. Whole different time.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So now we know that unconditional love is possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. We've seen it. Right?
Mm-hmm. I recently became aware that plants have love for us. Like, I always knew that the animals did, you know, like our pets and things, but it didn't occur to me about plants until I just started to realize recently that, you know, somebody had mentioned it in a book I was reading. And then I remembered that if you put seeds in your mouth before you plant them, the seed will gather all of the information from your DNA. And as the plant grows, it will produce fruit that is exactly to your body's specifications. That's how much plants actually love us. Yep.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's absolutely true.
Wow, next time I plant a garden, I'll be like...
Right?
Just put all the seeds
in
my mouth. That's amazing. I love that.
Look at the experiments, you know, like the experiments with water and the experiments with plants. You know, like if you have two plants and you water one and you talk to one and you tell it how beautiful it is, and the other one next door you don't pay any attention to, maybe you just water it occasionally, the two plants will be completely different. One will be small and one will be thriving. It's like they bloom like for us, like to make themselves more beautiful, to give us the fruit that we need, for like all of nature is here to love us.
Yeah. Well, I knew that they were definitely affected by energy, that they've been doing that one for a long time. But that other thing is really, really cool. Cool to know. Wow.
Right?
Wow. So let's say I'm listening to this and I'm like, okay, so I need to love myself unconditionally before I can be loving to others. Like, how do I even start that? Like, what's a tool or something that you can share that they could really get into doing that and get a sense of loving themselves without all the chatter?
Well, the thing that I have found that has been the most helpful to me is to recognize that love is a frequency. Love is what source is. Love is this incredible frequency that it includes peace and ease and joy. And, you know, it's not just one single note. Love is literally life itself. And when I start to tune into that frequency, when I start to just tune into what is love itself, and I start and I just let go of all of my defenses, allow a little extra space in between all my cells, let my body just relax into that frequency. I just imagine myself surrounded by love, by whether it's, you know, angels that are sending love to me, or just surrounding myself in that light and that feeling of love itself. Like, we've all been taught that we have to find the love of our life so that then we can be loved, or, you know, there's so much distortion around that, or that sex is love. You know, that's like a huge distortion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I have sex with you, then it means that I love you. Well, this isn't, like, it's really, like, it's very distorted. But when mm-hmm. we learn that, like, love is a feeling, it's a frequency, and we can allow ourselves to immerse in that at any time, just by tuning our attention to that, we can start to really allow ourselves to be in love itself.
Yeah, on this plane of existence, I think it's the highest form of energy that we can feel.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's broken up into positive qualities. So like when Brenny or you or I say love is the answer to every question, you know, I used to write that in Facebook once a year, and for a long time that's one of the few things that people would actually take me to task on, and write, how is this love, how is that love, what about when a child gets this happens and that happens and all that, you know, love is the answer to every question, love doesn't pay my bills. And it's like, wouldn't it though? Right? You really broke it down into love is the highest vibration, and it's broke into qualities that are positive, right? And then I could come up with qualities that had to do with that particular subject, that if they were embodying, there would be a different experience. And so I used to, you know, play that game once a year with people, because it was like, I feel like doing some coaching today. and so, yeah, it's an interesting word that, like I said, just the word love, so then bringing unconditional in front of it, for me, there were so many layers to where I got to where I had it. It had to do a lot of had it for others, which is usually you have to have it first for you and then you can give it to others. No, I was really wonderful at loving other people without condition. It was me that I was judging. It was me that I was had all this stuff about. Right. So one of the things, going back to tips for listeners, one of the things that I did that I would highly suggest, so write these down because we're going to give you a few of them to remember all of them. Not that easy. So one was I did the mirror exercise. Mm-hmm. So I stood in front of the mirror and looked into my eyes. Wow. That alone. If you just were in the mirror, looked in your eyes and stayed in your eyes and absolutely said nothing, that's a process in itself. Mm-hmm. So maybe just start with that. So without darting away, right? Without thinking a whole bunch of stuff, like just look into your eyes. And then once I got to where I could do that, then I started to say, I love you, Keith. Like, you are doing such a good job. You're always doing the best that you can do in each moment. So there's really nothing to judge. If you're always doing the best, what else could you be doing? Right? I love you exactly the way you are. Oh, I know you, like at the time I was really young, I know you have this, that, the other on your face or on your body. And I love you exactly like that. It's perfect. Like, that's you. And you can't be any different than you are now. So I love you for that. I love you for this. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you that you're kind to other people. I'm proud of you that, you know, like, just all, any positive anything that I could say, whether in that moment I believed it or not. Right? I said it anyway while looking into my eyes, the mirror exercise. And I forget the first time that I did it. It was probably 10 minutes or something. And it felt like a lifetime, that 10 minutes. Like, I set a timer, and it felt like I was sitting there for hours just to try to come up with anything that I loved about. Was a stretch, like a big stretch. Yeah. And then I had to continue doing it for a certain amount of time as part of the work I was doing. And it got easier and it got easier. And then it got to the point where it's like, you know, anytime you walk by a mirror or like a stained glass, you know, like a glass window in front of a store, if I'm walking down the street and I see myself, I'll just quickly look into my eyes. Go, I love you, like as I'm walking. It's like anytime you see your reflection, do that, and then it will remind you the truth of who you are everywhere you go throughout the day. So those little reminders. So the mirror exercise, powerful, powerful process that you could do.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I also realized that, you know, as souls, we're created in the frequency of love. Like, that is, it's our natural frequency. And when babies are born, that's just love. As soon as the baby comes out, it's like, oh, everybody just loves it. Because it's vibrating at the frequency of love. Love is who and what we are. And so, if that high frequency of love, the highest frequency, is who we are, as soon as we fall out of that frequency, we start suffering. So when we get ourselves back into that frequency, healing happens, ease, peace, harmony, all that happens when we get ourselves into that frequency. So learning how to stay at that frequency, recognizing who and what we truly are, the core of our being, is literally love itself. So unless we allow ourselves to feel love, we're not feeling our home frequency. We're not being who we truly are.
And don't we all just want to love and be loved?
Right?
I really feel like that's why we came here, to experience love and being loved in this body. Because it was just energy before, and it was all love all the time, right? And I was like, what would that feel like inside a body? And that's the game, right? Love and be loved, to me. It's not, I have to learn some lesson, or I'm going to keep coming back a million times until I get the lesson right. That just sounds like more dogmatic, you know, mumbo jumbo to me. What do you mean get it right? You're doing it right no matter how you do it. Period. As long as you are loving yourself and loving others while you're doing it. The rest of the stuff outside of us is stuff that happens, you know, stuff that's going on. Maybe we want to teach ourselves other lessons while we're here, but I don't know, as long as we're in love, loving others and kind and all of those things, I can't see how any God in the sky is going to say we did it wrong, right. Or that we should even say that we're doing it wrong. Exactly. And that's the thing for me. There was so much judgment on others for what they were doing, which come to find out was all self-judgment, right? So it was like I was judging my father because my father left when I was 2. And he was never there for me. He wasn't there when I graduated. He did this. He did this. He's this. He's this. He's spineless jellyfish. He attracts women that just run over him. And he lets them own him and tell him what to do. And he has no backbone and no spine. And all this stuff. Judging my dad. Dad wrong. That's not love. That's not unconditional love. Right, so I have for the people around me that I can touch, and I've got it. But for this guy who left, no. So, how can I have unconditional love for myself if I have all that venom from somebody else? So that when I do forgiveness work, which I think is really important if we're going to experience unconditional love, right? I actually take forgiveness at 3 layers. So there's the first layer that everybody knows about, which is, you know, I forgive my father for not being there. I forgive him for marrying women that are stronger and more powerful than him. He gives in to them. I forgive him for, you know, everybody knows that one. And we also know how effective that is. Because we say, I forgive my father for, and then 2 days later, we're talking about it on the couch again. Oh, my father. Right? Didn't really forgive him. We just said words. Didn't really happen. And if you go to that person, if I went to my father and said, hey, guess what, Dad? I forgive you for this or this. Or if I said, I forgive you, he'd say, for what? And then I could put out my big laundry list. And he might say, what if I experienced that in a different way? Or, you know, you're full of crap. Or it's like, forgiveness isn't for the other person. So it doesn't do me any good to share, hey, Dad, I forgive you. That's on deaf ears. And then, for me, I forget that I said I forgive him 2 days later. So level 1, maybe good to start the process so that you can get your initial list of things to forgive. So I forgive my father for, just go ahead and list them all. Go until you got nothing left. Then take it to the second level. Ooh, write this down. I forgive myself for judging my father as, right? Oh, okay. And then go down the list. So I forgive myself for judging my father as never there for me. I forgive myself for judging my father as being a spineless jellyfish. I forgive myself for judging my father as everything on the list. Ooh, deeper cut. Now it starts to really start to feel it. It starts to sink in. Whoa. Self for judging him. Ooh, that's all that really needs to happen. There's one more cut, and that's the cut that I've never heard anybody else say this. is the third level is I forgive myself for judging myself as, and then go through the list. I forgive myself for judging myself as a spineless jellyfish. Woo! I forgive myself for never being there for me. I forgive myself for all the times that I have left me hanging. Whoa, I forgive myself for judging myself as somebody who attracts powerful women and then lets them. Oh, didn't I do that in my first marriage? The same exact thing. Oh, I forgive myself for judging myself for that. Okay, cool. And it like used the same exact list. And it all started with stuff I had projected on my dad that I thought I was forgiving him for. It was all a judgment that I had about me and things that I did and ways that I showed up. And that's the only thing that needed to be forgiven. Once I really did that work and then forgave that. For all the stuff, all the garbage. I mean, I dug and dug and dug and dug. Called in positive qualities. Called in love and called in everything after I burned it all up and finally got to the space where I was like, oh, I love me. Then I made a choice in that moment because now I love myself that maybe I wanted to get up and walk around. Maybe I wanted to eat less than I was eating. Maybe I wanted to, and I did all the things that took me from being 310 pounds and 54 inch waist to healthy, happy, thin, right? And it all just, it was all just, I was, everything that I was projecting, everything that I was doing was because I didn't love myself. It was all ways that I was sabotaging and beating myself up for all the judgment that I had on myself. So for me, you know, unconditional love is how many ways can I love me? How many ways can I love me? And when I love myself, pockmarks and all, whatever weight I'm at, like, no judgment on that. With however I'm being, how much money I have in my account, when I can love that just the way that I am. And in this moment, here's where we started back to the beginning. I can't weigh any less. I can't have any more money. But right now, perfect, exactly the way I am. That's what I call unconditional love. And then, and only then, do I have it to freely give to others. Because I won't be all judgy. I mean, if I am, then I'll catch it really quick and say, oh, but that's a self-judgment. Because I truly believe that every judgment that we have, if we judge someone else for anything, we feel that we either are that thing right now, were that thing in the past, we'll become that in the future. We didn't believe that would be zero judgment.
Right. And when we're judging people, there's always like such a charge on that. There's like a charged energy.
Yeah.
Like that's our energy, like we are responsible for our own energy. And when we keep our energy field high and clear and clean and balanced and in that space of love, then we don't really care to lower the vibration to where we're like, we got the finger in the socket and it's like,
yeah. Yeah. You know?
It's you over there.
Yeah, when we come from that place and we're just in that high vibration, feeling great about ourselves, that's why people say, well, how do I stay in that vibration when other people do stupid things, or you know, my dad says something hateful to me. It's like, oh, dad said something hateful to me because dad said something hateful to me. Like, that's the only thing that's true. If I don't take it on, if I just go like, huh, well, that has no truth to it whatsoever. And that's based on the story that his parents told him. And so that was my reference. I guess that's why I would say that to me. Let it go. Okay, dad, tell me more. You know what I mean? Like, nothing has meaning except for the meaning that I give it.
Yeah.
He just says what he says. What I do with it at that point is up to me. And so that's how I'm able to be around others when they're acting all crazy. And got through the, you know, all this time since, 2020. during this interesting time that we live in now. It's just like people, they're just doing what they're doing. But it, if I don't let it affect this space right here, and how much of that crap really has anything to do with me anyway? I mean, some people may think I'm selfish to say something like that, but it's like, oh, I watch the news and this is happening and this is happening over there, that's happening. First of all, is it? Like, I was in media, so I know it's probably not even true, especially not the way that they're reporting it. But first of all, is it? And then second of all, how does it affect me, right here, right now? Not at all. So why would I put any energy there? I'm just going to sit here in my high vibration, feeling great about myself, loving others. That's what I can do. That's what feels good. And guess what? Feels good. It's a high vibration, right? Inside of me. And like you said, if it feels like, oh, not a high vibration. So I don't have time for it. I got better things to do. Literally. Higher things to do.
Right? Yeah. That's one of the incredible things about these bodies of ours is that they give us instant feedback soon as we put our finger in the socket and start pointing our fingers and start doing things that charge us, where we're feeling fear or doubt or guilt or shame or blame or judgment. What the body tells us immediately. We kind of override that system a lot. We've been taught to to ignore that inner guidance. But when we turn that ability back on, when we start noticing how our body feels, then when the body is just feeling good and relaxed and happy, like we're in that good, relaxed and happy space. As soon as it's feeling heavy or resistance, or we know that we need to clear out some stuff in our thought space. Energy.
Yes. Come back to the space of love.
Exactly. Yes. This is where we are on this planet, to the law of one is we are all one. We are all from source. We are all literally life itself, exploring all the different ways it can exist. How many ways can life exist? And we've got from the tiniest little microscopic organisms all the way up to the planet herself. The entire universe is alive. It's filled with life. And we just love life itself. Think of all the incredible life forms on this planet. God, Source, Creator loved each and every one of these life forms so much that it created them. Said, hey, I give you existence. Go explore. Find out what it's like to be a blade of grass. Find out what it's like to be a tree. Find out what it's like to be a human. Go love your life. And when we celebrate life itself, there's a lot to celebrate. There's a lot to love on this planet. We are under absolutely no obligation to participate in the chaos and the confusion and the distortions and the finger pointing. It's all completely optional. Even though the ones that want us to participate in those things make it seem like it is not optional. You have to do this or else.
Right.
We really truly don't have to participate in anything that is for our detriment.
I love that. And it appears that we, these human beings, are the only ones, like completely overthinking. A tree doesn't say, am I going to leave this year?
Right?
Right. It just does. Right? It all just does. It just does what it does. And it does it like the same time with regularity. It doesn't overthink. Should I have, I think maybe three more leaves? No, two more leaves. No, I'm not going to be seen as beautiful. I'm going to have four leaves. Can you see a tree like sitting there going,
Exactly.
If you feel energy, like go hug a tree and you'll see that none of that's going on. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when I moved from California up to the mountains and then I finally like hugged a tree, and I mean, for a good amount of time, I was like, oh, I get it, tree huggers. And I had heard that saying, and for so many years, he's a tree hugger. And I just didn't get it why they said that, or why anybody would hug a tree, or especially enough to get accused of being a tree hugger. And I was just like, there's so much wisdom that can be felt. Like, you can ask a tree a question, hug that tree, receive an answer that you know you didn't get. It's wild. That's why they like, oh my God, I am so a tree hugger.
Right? When you hug a tree, that tree gives you love back. That
yes.
Tree is vibrating at the frequency of love.
It's palatable.
All of nature vibrates at the frequency of love. All of nature, life, loving life. Humans are the only ones
who
have fallen out of that resonance. And when we learn how to come back into resonance with that and we start loving life itself, we look around and we see all the different forms of life, even just in your house, a little plant, like life. Life is everywhere. And when we tune into that, we can tune into love, the love of all of creation.
As us, through us, we are one.
Exactly. One life, one love. Yes. And this is why love is the answer to every problem and every question. Yes. Because when we are tuned into the frequency of love, we are tuned into the truth of who we are, and we are tuned into the universal mind. We can get all the answers we need, and we can always feel the love if we tune in and look for it. Beautiful.
There you go.
Right? Love it that we're here solving all the world's problems. Having conversations in consciousness.
Absolutely.
Just help open awareness to have these conversations, because
we're
certainly not having these conversations on the news, and we all need to have these conversations for ourselves so that we can start to notice what we notice, start to notice other things than what we're shown loudly in the world.
Yeah, and it's fun to have these conversations with others. So take these things out into the world. Anything that you wrote down, anything that you, after you do the processes that we suggested, you know, go out in the world and ask some questions, see what others are thinking, and they'll say, what do you think? And then share what you think about unconditional love. Just might have something that makes them say, aha! Yes. Make a difference in the world. One hug at a time, one word at a time, one love at a time.
Can you imagine if everybody walked around just being love all the time? How amazing would that be?
Yes.
This is where we're heading, folks. This is the massive shift of consciousness where we return to love. Beautiful.
So it is.
So it is, for sure. And Keith, thank you so much for another fabulous Conversations in Consciousness.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's our show. We love it. Look forward to having some guests on our show at some point as well. We will have some others from time to time adding to our conversations. So we hope you are enjoying these shows. If you have topics that you'd like for us to have conversations about, please feel free to drop them in the comments. If you like this, make sure you like our channels and make sure that you share with your loved ones.
Yes, tell your friends.
Yeah. So, Keith, thank you so much. And thank you all for listening in today. Until next conversation, create for yourselves a beautiful, loving life because you can.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Connecting You to You Radio. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. Are you ready to discover more about how simple healing your body can actually be when you do it from the higher wisdom of your soul? To learn more about what I do and how you can work with me, visit connectingyoutoyou.com and get on my mailing list to be the first to know about my latest offerings. If you'd like to interact with me on Facebook, please join my group, Soul Sourced Healing. Check the show notes below for these links and more. I hope to see you again next time on Connecting You to You Radio.